Welcome, my friends, to another recording edition of Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour on this Thursday, October 21st, 2021. I am Peyman Motahedeh, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996, and it's my pleasure to talk about a very popular topic in the freedom movement in 2021, and that is the subject of state assemblies and common law court. So there's a lot of talk about this topic, and I get a lot of calls about it. I mean, people ask and want to know how can they join a state assembly or common law court to avoid filing and paying federal income taxes. So that's a very important issue. People want to know the hows or what to do or what not to do, how to do it. So Freedom Law School has always been about how to do things right. So I'm going to go over that specific topic in this presentation. So with that, let's go ahead and I'm going to start a recording just momentarily with the American Dictionary of the English Language, Noah Webster, 1828. Okay, so ready, guys, we'll start a time again. We'll start momentarily just now. Yes.
Going to give you a countdown. We will start in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to another edition of Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. I'm going to talk about the topic of how can you join a state assembly or a common law court to avoid filing and paying U.S. income taxes. I am Peyman Motahedeh, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. Before we get into the topic, I'm going to share you some of my most interesting books I got, which relates to all this. I have an American Dictionary of the English Language, Noah Webster, 1828 Actual Reprint. These are some of the interesting books I got in my library. I'm going to show you all quickly. This is the Black's Law Dictionary, 1910 Reprint, to see legal definition of things that over 100 years ago, the courts and legislatures went by. Of course, anybody who wants to know about common law, guess what? The book about common law is Jones's, okay, and Blackstone, okay? So Blackstone commentaries, this is actually half. The other half is behind me, you see, on the shelves, okay? And here I have a course on American and English law, a lot of common law in here. This course is from the early 1900s. That's why the book is kind of a little messed up there. It's the actual book, not a reprint. And I also have in my library, amongst other books, Bouvier's Law Dictionary. This goes to the 1830s. This is actually one of several volumes of Bouvier's Law Dictionary. This is what the courts and lawmakers used in the early 1800s to reference and understand law and how to interpret and write laws. So with having said that, folks, let's go to the topic of state assembly, common law courts, okay? Before I go on, let me just show you Freedom Law School's website, adlibfreenow.org, folks. Okay, I've said for a long time that there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax, right? And libfreenow.org, our website, is on this topic. And this short introduction is only 9 minutes long. You should watch this 9-minute video about this issue because it shows you how you have been robbed with deception. Okay? We're going to get into this a little bit later, but I'm going to get back to the topic on hand. Just a little bit know who Freedom Law School is. Now, before I get into this issue, I got to give credit where the credit is due. The person responsible for the state assembly movement and common law court movement now in 2021 is Anna Von Wright of Alaska. Yes, I did get involved in 1992 in the freedom movement at that time, and I did go and speak at a common law court of back then. I think it was 1995 that I attended and spoke in one of those meetings in Orange County, California. But today's movement, the person who gets credit for that is Anna Von Wright. So let's go to her website to get more familiar with what Anna is speaking about. So here's her website, the American State Assemblies, okay, tasa.americanstatenationals.org. So when you go on there, you see on the left, that's the picture of Anna Von Wright. The middle one that turned, we're going to click on that a little to see more. And when you go there, folks, here that's what you see. The factual states that are these assemblies that have been formed. There's a map of the 50 states. And you go below that. There's two important, powerful charts in the bottom of this page, which I particularly have. I'm fond of certain parts of it. So let me tell you about that, okay? You go on the bottom of this, and the chart on the left pretty much is similar to the right one. We click on that, and what we see on there is seed up. Okay, let's make it a little bit bigger if you can. I guess that can make it bigger. It was hard to see. So I'm going to zoom on this page a little bit more for you guys so you can see it better. Okay, what you see, the way the power is supposed to flow in America. This is a very good point, because the power is supposed to flow from we the people. Okay, I guess this website is not very good to enlarge. I'm going to go back to where I was. Here we go. What it shows on the left, folks, you see the people at the top of the pyramid. Then below that, city and county. Those are local governments. Above that, the state. And that is correct. That is the way American system of government is supposed to be. We the people, we created the government. The government is really a tool, a creation of we, the people, all of us, to get together and protect us from the robbers, murderers, rapists, and others. So we form the local group, county, maybe even a city, and then those local groups or counties together form the state. Okay, and then from the state you get the Federation of the States, which is the United States of America. So that is correct. Okay, and then of course the flow on the right side shows is being inverted upside down, where you see on the right side the blue pyramid, that people are at the bottom, then above that city, county, and the state, then above that Federation of States, like the United States of America with the U.S. Constitution that you see there. Okay, so that part of it is fine. Okay, let's go to the next page that Anna has on a website. But first you need to know who is putting this together, okay? The person putting this together is Anna Von Wright. This is another page of her, AnnaVonWright.com, okay? And this page is the index of the writings of Judge Anna Von Wright from Big Lake, Alaska. Now, she claims to be a judge, all right? But folks, I could call myself a judge if I were to do that. Wouldn't you ask me, Paymon, prove that you're a judge? That would be a fair question for you to ask. I would have to prove to you I'm a judge, but I'm not a judge. I'm also not an attorney. I don't represent people in court. I'm not a lawyer. So I'm telling you the truth. I'm not an attorney, lawyer, or judge. I'm just a regular self-taught legal scholar. Any of you can be just like me if you just learn about this stuff. But Anna claims she's a judge, and she's not a judge. And right there, folks, would that be not the cause of concern for you? Someone calling themselves a judge and not being a judge? Well, let's go to her website, the Jural Assembly Handbook. Here it is. Picture of Anna Von Wright she has on there. And in this booklet that she has written, you know, in 2019, and you'll see this handbook, table of contents, there's interesting sections. What got my attention is section 3. This is not an opinion. Page 8, right? This is very important, folks, because law is not supposed to be opinion. It's not like religion. Someone believes in Islam, Allah, or Christian, or Muslim, or Buddhist, or Shih Tzu, or Hindu. People have differing opinions on that. But law should be black and white. This pen is red with some white on it and the blue handle. This is not an opinion. It's a fact. So I'm going to look at this issue. On her handout here, what she calls the Jural Assembly Handbook, we will go now to page 8 about this is not opinion and read about that a little bit more. First, Anna says that she and her husband climbed out from under their rock in 1998 when they became freedom lovers. That was 6 years after me. And in 2015, 17 years later, they issued their own sovereign letters patent. Sovereign letters patent. Well, if this is such an important thing, why not do that? Why form these state assemblies if a sovereign letter patent is the thing to do? Well, anyhow, so that's something for you to consider why that would be the case. Now, in this article, 1842, Anna tells us her understanding of state assemblies and Jural assemblies, okay? And she says that Anna's forming state assemblies and Jural assemblies as part of the state assemblies. And the right to assemble jural duties, as well as of all of our duties of self-government, are based on the Declaration of Independence and agreed upon and confirmed by all three federal constitutions. Okay. Well, folks, I love and respect the Declaration of Independence. You call for your law school, we'll mail you free of charge. There's a rule book. Has the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and more from Founding Fathers in here. You carry it with you in your pocket anywhere you go for reference. Okay? But I do not know of three federal constitutions. Never heard of such a thing. Okay? We have to pause momentarily, folks. I'll be right back. Okay, now Anna says that what she's doing is to that end, okay? That's the goal. I love freedom. I appreciate Anna stands up for that. Now she says there's a group of unnamed people going around like Chicken Little claiming that we do not have the right to form our own courts and execute justice in our own county and that general assemblies are dangerous. Okay. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road. So what she says is that these assemblies, state assemblies, basically have the right to form your own courts and execute justice in our own county, in our country. Okay. So basically, these rural societies can form their own courts, have their own sheriffs, and someone accused of murder, bring him to a jury trial, indict him. Upon jury trial conviction, sentence them to death. Or someone stole, and for that they could be indicted, brought to trial, convicted by a jury, and then sentenced. Okay? And arrest warrants could be issued, okay, for people who are indicted by a grand jury to be put to trial. The courts can order people to be come available, come to court and testify. Okay? Well, is that so? Well, folks, this is the key thing. Way back in 1995, in Orange County, California, where I used to live, in Tustin, California, I spoke before a common law jury at the time. Same idea, which was that we the people, which we created the government, which is true, we created the government, have the right to create our own form of government if the existing government is not serving us correctly. And that is true. Yes. The Declaration of Independence does say we have a right to alter and abolish a government that's not serving the people. That is very true. And these people were, as I said, creating on courts, issuing orders, people signing a piece of paper as judge, sent to a local sheriff to arrest somebody, and on some occasions the sheriff act on those common law court orders and the different legal things. Until the sheriff and the courts realized that these courts were not the regular courts. They were not the regular California superior courts, you know, that you all know and exist, go there for all kind of stuff, legal stuff. It's not the same. It's some people meeting in some office space and issuing these things on their own, these papers on their own. So what happened is that the regular courts issued arrest warrants for the leaders of these groups, and they arrested them, and these groups all disappeared. They all went away. Wait a minute. If, as Anna says, okay, we have the right to form our own courts and execute justice in our own country, why is it that these courts were disbanded, these assemblies were disbanded? Well, that's because there's one fundamental principle of government that a lot of patriots do not understand and they forget. And my friend Anna, unfortunately, does not discuss much. That is a question of power. How did we, the American people, get our independence from King of England? Did we just simply form our own jural societies, state assemblies, and told the King of England that, hey, you're no longer king. We, the people, are king, and, you know, you're out of here. We're going to run our own lives and form our own courts and execute our justice in our own country. No, that's not how it happened. Founding fathers did have their own assemblies. Yes, they got together. And they did issue petitions, requests from the king to stop violating our rights in so many different ways. If petitions were ignored. And at some point, the Founding Fathers finally did what they had to do, which was at Lexington, the British Redcoats murdered a bunch of innocent patriots. The Founding Fathers did what they had to do. They took up arms. And by violent self-defense means, guns, they revolted and start shooting at the soldiers, Redcoat soldiers of King George of England. And that, over the course of time, led to the American Revolution's success. We physically beat the king's army in the colonies, the 13 original colonies that later became 13 independent sovereign states. See, King George was busy in Europe fighting with France and didn't want to have too much troops focus on that little colony called America, because after all, it was only 2.5 million people lived in the 13 colonies, and it was way out there. He was more worried about France right next door to England. So we got our freedom. We got our jurisdiction and our courts and independence by violent self-defense means of protecting ourselves from King George of England. And that's the key thing, folks. We got the power. The Founding Fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, all those guys, they got the physical power. With that physical power, okay, then they form their own 13 separate countries in 1776. And in 1789, they created a federal government. The states did that, and they delegated very few specific powers to the federal government. Coin money, standard money for all the states, common immigration rules, common defense, and a few other specific powers. The federal government is an agent of the states. The states are sovereign. Just like France, Italy, and Germany are sovereign countries and states within the European Union, which is about over 20 states in that union now. Same thing we had created in America. So power, folks, is key. You got to have physical power to enforce your jurisdiction, to enforce your law. The Founding Fathers paid a heavy price. Many people died, lost their homes, their wives, children, limb, eyes, legs were torn apart to give us the freedom. Because they physically had to overcome the king and his troops. So what's missing here with Anna von Reitz and his state assemblies is the power, okay? These government courts, government sheriffs, they have the power. They have a lot more guns, a lot more number of people with guns trained than these general societies, state assemblies, common law courts. So unless and until you choose to actually do that kind of violent revolution, overcome the county sheriff, you cannot do that. You simply cannot do that. It will not work. Eventually, the group gets bigger. Some of these orders of these state assemblies are going to be recognized by the sheriff and the courts, regular courts, as not being air courts. They're going to come down and put some of the leaders of those state assemblies, common law courts, in prison, indict them, put them in trial, and everybody's going to get scared and run off. That's exactly what happened, folks. Back in 1995, I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw. Today, same thing is happening. Let me go take you to our website, okay? On our blog, under State versus Citizenship Theory Reconsidered, I have in this article, you see here, a link to sovereign citizen Bruce Doucette. you see here, and how he was, you know, indicted for doing the stuff that Anna von Reitz is telling people to do. Yes. This was May 22, 2018. Sovereign citizen Bruce Doucette sentenced to 38 years. And guess what? He was a follower of Anna von Reitz. Oh, back then, she claimed she was Judge Anna von Reitz. By the way, before I go on, Anna, I love you as a patriot. I love where your heart's coming from. I love where your intent comes from. Okay? But I'm sorry, you are unwittingly believing this theory and leading people to slaughter like David, like happening with Bruce said. I'm happy to debate you on Freedom Laws to Freedom Hour anytime you want. Any of you know Anna, tell her I'll be happy to debate her. Okay? Discuss stuff with her and let you all decide. At Freedom Law School's Weekly Freedom Hour. Okay? So it's not I'm bad-mouthing. I've talked to Anna. She's a very likable lady. I have nothing personally against her, but I don't want people go to prison or lose their stuff like Bruce Doucette did here. And you see, here's a Bruce Doucette. Yep. There it is. He was charged with all kind of stuff. He was domestic paper terrorism, you know. You know, so basically, you know, guess what he did, Bruce Doucette. In 2015 and 16, like Anna von Reitz, Doucette gave himself the title Superior Court Judge. Yep, called himself a judge and traveled around the state instructing local people how to set up common law court operations. You see that, folks? Yep, common law court operations. That's what he told them to do. And he got 38 years, basically a life in prison. Do you want to do that? It's your free will. I cannot stop you. I love you. I care about your health, safety, and welfare. But it's up to you, my friend, to learn from others' mistakes or repeat it. Because they say, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. You want to repeat that? You're welcome to try it. And just like Bruce Doucette, set up these common law courts and call yourself a judge, just like Anna von Reitz, okay? So, and this lady on YouTube did a more detailed story about this, okay? This is all a YouTube title called Anna von Reitz Student Sentenced 38 Years in Prison. He was put on May 23rd, 2018. Now listen, folks, I don't like the crooks in government. I'm not pro-IRS. I'm not pro these crooked politicians, Republican or Democrat. I'm 100% libertarian, freedom-loving American. Came from Iran in a Jewish family where we had no freedoms, any of us in Iran, in 1977, to America, the land of the free, home of the brave, to found freedom. I found myself in the land of the meek and home of the indentured slaves. I'm pro-freedom. Yes, I teach people the fraud of the income tax, deception of the Internal Revenue Code on the American people to enslave you to pay millions of dollars of your hard labor to pay these current enemies of the American people within the U.S. government who have hijacked the federal government and used it against you. FBI set up the so-called January 6th insurrection thing. They did themselves for a long time. Folks, 9/11 was the inside job. Folks, you all know this stuff. So I'm not one of the fan of these guys. But just because the crooks in government are running things doesn't mean we should do whatever some wonderful sounding patriot tells us to do. Like form common law courts, state assemblies. You do what works. In fact, let me ask you, can you give me one example from Anna von Reitz's website of victory? One victory that this has worked. One victory that anybody successfully stopped filing and paying income tax following Anna Von Reitz's material. If they do show it to me, I will humbly say thank you for enlightening me. Yes, I want to be enlightened. I want to be corrected. I want to be right every time. Do they have it? No. She has no history of wins on her website. Anywhere. If it is, find it. Please send it to Freedom Law School, okay? Now, allow me to share some real victories. You want to see real victories? Yep. Go to Freedom Law School's website at livefreenow.org. Yep. What I keep saying, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file income tax. Now, you go there on our website under victories. I'm sorry, under here we go, victories. Drop down menu to Freedom Law School victories over the IRS, and you see victories. Yes, folks, I myself have documented victories over the IRS. I'll show my own with more details, and our students have beat them also. Yes, there's a track record of success. Don't believe me? I'll show it to you right now. Government's own documentation. The IRS documentation, U.S. Tax Court, yes, you'll see. I've kicked these guys' butts. Since 1992, I've been beating them. Look, okay? Victory number one half here, okay? Okay, and number two, number three. I got more, by the way, I got to put up there, okay? The first one, by the way, IRS has been investigating Freedom Law School and Paymont since 1994. Yes. And still unable to stop Freedom Law School and Paymont from exposing IRS's deception and robbery of the American people. Folks, they looked at me back then. In 1994, folks, you know what they looked at me? Here it is. As a potential fraudulent tax protester promoter. Potential fraudulent tax protester promoter. Boy, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Back in 1994, they're looking at me. And they haven't been able to stop me. I've been under investigation continuously by the IRS. Criminal investigation otherwise, and they cannot stop me. That's a win by itself. Look at this. I'm not in jail. How come? I'm not filing income tax for over 30 years. I did a 1992 1040 NR as a sovereign citizen, I thought. Wrong one. Back in 1993, which IRS rejected. But other than that, I haven't paid a dime of income tax on my own choice. I'd be totally for my job back in 1992, a little bit, $600. And I haven't filed it off for over 30 years. How come the IRS does not try to put me in prison? Right? Because they know I'm doing it the right way. And they don't want to give me a big win by putting me in a jury trial that I'll beat. And that's going to give me a lot more credibility that I beat them. That's why. Let's see more. So documentation is right here. On the click here, on the bottom left, you see documentation right here. Yep. Look at this, folks. This is Case History Workshop. The agent looked at Freedom Law School back then. And you see, on the top right, Paul von Ravensburg looked at Paymon Moteda on the top left. And in the notes of him, guess what? You got to look at your website on your computer more closely. Receive case from manager or MGR, developed and referred potential fraudulent tax protester promoter. Left of that, Sugeri CID. Look at all the entries in yellow. Sugeri CID. Sugeri CID. Yep. Look at all this stuff. There's more. Yep. On the next page, you're Joseph Martinez CID. Okay. So this is proof, folks. What I do works. Even back then, it worked. Now it's much better, what Freedom Law School does. Right? Let's go to another victory. Victory number two. Freedom Law School beats IRS in its own $700,000 case. That's right. Folks, in December 2009, IRS filed lien tax liens against me for about 700,000. $6,000, folks, in years of taxes. Leave their files. Guess what? Adam removed it in just 2 years. Look at this. You want some victories? Real buildings against the IRS? There it is. Read the bottom stuff. All documentation is there. I'm going to open up one of those. Okay? Here is one withdrawal of the tax liens they filed. Here it is, December 29, 2011 on the top right. Pay mom what the hell. The IRS wrote to me, right? Enclosed, it says what? A copy of the second paragraph of the Form 10916C withdrawal of filed notice of federal tax lien, right? That we mailed to the local recording office for filing. Yep. And I'm going to scroll down to the actual, one of those pages, many, many pages. This is, folks, multiple pages of releases were filed of liens because they put a lot of liens on me. Pages and pages of liens. Here's a withdrawal. There it is. Department of the Treasury, Internal Revenue Service, withdrawal of filed notices, notice of federal tax lien, right? Look at it. Taxpayer name. Pay mom what they had day. Madison, California. Look at all this, folks. Tax periods. You're on the second column on the left. Right? All the assessments are in the middle column. Third from the right. Look at the unpaid balance. On this page, 99,000. Filed in Oakland, California. Prepared in Oakland, California. December 2011, they filed it. Yep. All these are withdrawn, and there's page after page of these liens withdrawal. Yep. Now, that's track record you can bank on. Not some self-anointed common law state assembly that, you know, somebody's business or office of garage you do, right? Here's another one. Victory number three. Here it is, folks. In 2003 to 2016, Freedom Law School beats IRS's bogus claim of Freedom Law School being an abusive tax shelter promoter. Yes. Folks, what the IRS did since 2003 or before, they started looking at Freedom Law School as an abusive tax shelter promoter as the excuse to take me to a government court judge and have them close Freedom Law School. Trump, Russia conspiracy hoax, fell apart in 3 years. IRS investigation of Paymon, Freedom Law School, completely collapsed in 2016. They wrote me and admitted it. Here's the proof. It's the actual documentation. Yep. You can open it up right there in the first paragraph. The hyperlink is there. There it is. Internal Revenue Service in San Diego, California. On the top right, July 11, 2016. Wrote to me in this. Okay. And what does it say? Dear Mr. Motahede, we are discontinuing our investigation into whether you are liable for a penalty under Internal Revenue Code sections, blah, 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 blah. They're just continuing it. That's it. Stopped it. See? Roma Patel, revenue agent. And folks, the original letters, when the IRS came after me, is in the other link right here. Give the original claims. You can go check it out on your own. On the bottom of the paragraph, there's a link to that. Here it is, folks. You see it coming up right now momentarily. Well, the actual investigation paperwork is there. It's come up a little slowly. Check it out for yourself. So, folks, you don't need to go to some dual society to be free. You can follow what Freedom Law School is doing, which works, and now it's better than ever. I'm going to show you how to do it. The real way the Founding Fathers did. Yes. We will do it like George Washington, Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson. We'll do it like John Hancock and those guys. This is how, okay? Okay, so anyhow, oh, there it is. It came up. You can see, link all this stuff is documented, folks, that you want to see on our website. Yep. Let's go to, here we go. On our website, folks, what you want to do, at livefreenow.org, go under petitions. Click on petitions on the drop-down menu at livefreenow.org, and I'll show you that you should write petitions to U.S. Congress to lawfully free yourself of IRS deception, robbery, and slavery for free. You can do it for free. You don't have to give me anything. You can do it for free yourself if you want to. You want me to back you up also? And then that's fine. I'll do that too. It's your choice though. Let me show you how you can do it for free yourself, okay? So when you go to this page, scroll down, watch a short video about the process, why you should write Congress, about IRS and Department of Injustice deception, free yourself income tax, robbery, and slavery, okay? And there's instructions on how to do this process. Why is this so important, okay? Here's the overview. And then at the bottom, there's right now four petitions, four key petitions. The bottom left is on the individual income taxes. Second one is the income tax withholding W-4 and W-2 form. Third one is on Social Security and Medicare taxes. And the last one is on 1099s, W-2-9 form and self-employment taxes. I'm probably going to do maybe one or two more petitions coming up about the ATIN surveillance number, otherwise called the slave surveillance number. Oh, they call it the Social Security number, but it's not. I'm going to do one on that too. Right now, let's focus on the first one, okay? Individual income taxes. Go on the yellow gold on the bottom left and open that link in a new tab, and it gets you to this page, okay? And here, this page. And it's headline. This is a sample of these petitions. How can I lawfully and safely free myself from filing and paying U.S. income taxes? Yes, you can do it. You could save millions of dollars in your lifetime, not give it to your enemies who have taken over the federal government, and then use your labor, your work, your money, they use it to destroy you and save you further. You can write to Congressman, as I'll show you. Here, let's go down. The sample petitions right here, where I'm going over it, the black and green goes back and forth. But you should watch the presentation here on how to avoid tax prison 100% of the time. 100% effective strategy to keep you free and out of federal prison for not filing and paying U.S. income taxes that by law you do not owe. Yes. The only ones that owe it, I show it, is citizens and residents of Washington, D.C. and anybody who gets money performing functions of federal public office, like soldiers, federal bureaucrats, post office workers, that kind of thing. Okay? So watch that video, and then the overview is here of the process written here. Okay, follow the details and procedures on this page carefully. But here is I'm going to open up the actual petition to Congress, and it's right here. It's addressed to your congressman, two senators, and your House member. It's about justification for a congressional investigation of the income tax collection illegally, deceptively, by the IRS's management. It's really Satan, central authority management. They want to control it from this earthly authority. You pay them, and they know what to do for you with your money. That's the satanic, communist, socialist system, attitude, and agenda. And you ask them humbly in this letter to correct you if you're wrong, right? to investigate them. And if you're wrong, I'll tell you. In the letter, everything you see, folks, is cited from government's official legal websites or U.S. Supreme Court decision. All the quotes are exactly verbatim from the law. Here is the CFR 1.1-1A1, exactly verbatim in the letter, okay? And it's attached, listed and attached to the end of the petition that is here, okay? Now, and you tell your congressman, folks, I believe every person should pay their fair share of income taxes according to the law. I've shown you who is required to pay their fair share, which I told you is who? Federal government workers and citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., not you in the 50 states. The letter shows that clearly, right? Lays it out. So we follow the laws of the Congress and the Treasury Department interpretation of those laws and by applying the principles the U.S. Supreme Court considers obvious and well-established. Okay? I'm sure like you that like me, most Americans are not included on a list of those who are liable to pay the income tax, right? So basically, you tell them this. If by reading this letter would attach Internal Revenue Code, IRC and CFR sections, and Supreme Court cases, you can show me that I'm somehow misinterpreting statutes, regulations, or U.S. Supreme Court decisions, that I do owe federal income taxes, I will gladly pay all taxes due and will consider such payment to be my fair share. You see, folks, you're willing to pay a fair share, but the fact is you don't have a share in the beginning at all. You don't owe it at all. You owe zero income tax. You can be free, lawfully, safely. And then the letter says that when your independent research verifies my discovery that the U.S. individual income tax does not apply to the average American like me in the 50 states, I urge you to educate other Congress members about this matter and see if they agree that this justifies conducting an investigation to expose the truth about this government renegade conspiracy and put an end to impoverishing Americans. I look forward to your timely, specific, and on-point reply. Yep. Folks, you can't get any more laser on-point than here. The laws are attached. Here it is. Look at this, folks. Attachment. All the laws in the letter are listed here. A through J. And you see them attached and the relevant language highlighted. This is a CFR 1.1-1 A1, which I read earlier for you from government's official websites attached. There it is, folks. Supreme Court cases all attached. You'll see it. Yep. This is Mies versus Keene with the relevant language. Boom. In there. Highlighted for ease of use. So folks, you don't have to go with these baseless legal theories. You don't. I got a caller, someone who's joining Freedom Law School, becoming a Royal or Simple Freedom Package member. Right now, he's going to call. Hang in there, okay? Okay, have him put through, guys, okay? He's area code 512 caller. He followed all the patriot mythologies out there, okay? And finally, after over 30 years, he's joining Freedom Law School. He even went to prison, yes, for following baseless legal theories like state assembly, common law court, straw man, redemption, expatriation, repatriation, objecting to your name in capital letters, copywriting your name, getting out of Admiralty Maritime statutory jurisdiction back on the common law using UCC 1-07, UCC 1-05, because you know about the bankruptcy of the United States with H.R. 192 back in 1933 with Roosevelt as a sovereign state citizen and with revocation of election and on and on and on. How do I know and name all of these various patriot freedom theories, folks? Because I started with those adhesion contract. I forgot to mention other stuff way back in 1992 myself, just like you. But thank goodness within 2 years back in 1994, I found out I was being misled with a bunch of nonsense. And I started doing things right when I was small. There was no freedom law school at that time. And that's why I'm free. Right now, the IRS cannot stop me, even if they have me under investigation. And I kicked their butt, as you see. They tried to get me civilly before a judge of their own judges, not with a jury of 12 American citizens because they know I'll beat them. Do I be like these guys? Like Doucette? Or like Freedom Law School? Here, here's the choice, folks. Do I be like this guy? Sovereign citizen Doucette? 38 years in prison? Take a chance at that? That's him, folks. There is jurisdiction in the court of law. Handcuffs on his hands. Or you might be like Freedom Law School, like me, Paymon. Free. You've got to make that choice, folks. I can only lead you to the information, the truth. Again, remember, the number of reasons people in this movement don't win is because they're crooks in government. Bunch of satanic, communist, socialists have taken over the U.S. government. They no longer are the George Washington, Thomas Jefferson crowd. But the second reason is these baseless legal theories like the state assembly, common law, court, dual society, all this stuff. That's the second reason. Because instead of doing the right stuff, you do all the nonsense garbage. I call them patriot mythologies. They sound good. Feel great. Makes sense. Whoa. Sovereign citizen. Founding fathers. Yeah. I'm a Judge Anna. I'm a Judge Bruce Doucette. Ooh. But they're utter nonsense. So folks, it's up to you. Those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. Don't be one of those folks. I've shown you history. And I'll tell you, I've seen for the last 29 years, patriots like you lose and go back and system and say, you can't do it. No, don't join Freedom Law School. That guy named Ken was telling one of my students, don't do it because I did it. It didn't work. It will not work for you either because he did it wrong. He seems... I did it right, so there could be nobody else doing it right, like Freedom Law School. So don't become one of them. You go down this road, you lose sooner or later. You're going to find out the hard way. Do you have the person on the phone right now? Talk to him, to our guest. Okay, I'll interview him another time. Okay. So about his experience. Yes. He was in prison for a year and a half. All this patriot mythology. He says, Paymon, I heard about you 20 years ago, but couldn't tell you from the others who is right, who is wrong. Everything seems so confusing. Everybody says they're right. I didn't know. Well, folks, look for proof. Look for documentation of victories. Where is Anna von Wright's victories? Using common law. State Assembly, Zero. None. These are my victories. And I got more I haven't put on my website. There's more. So, do yourself a favor, folks. Join this proper, true restoration of our republic by petitioning Congress, like the founding fathers did. Yes, they petitioned Congress before they had to do a blood revolution in defense. So keep your powder dry, folks. Yes, Second Amendment of the Constitution is very important. Keep your guns safe, ready, loaded, but don't use them. Not yet. Keep them dry and in good shape. Exercise your First Amendment guaranteed right of speech, like I'm doing, associating with like-minded people, like I'm doing with you, press, publish stuff, like I'm doing, assemble with like-minded people, and get it out there to petition Congress, our representative government, to represent us and stop the criminality of the executive and judicial branches. That's the problem. And we got to keep at it, keep at it. But listen, folks, if they don't listen to you, so what? You've done your work. You'll be free. You have a record of it. By certified mail, you send those letters to the congressman and keep a copy of those letters and a certified mailing proof. I'll tell you the instruction on how to do that. Now, something else, folks. Freedom Law School is different. You see on our top left, we have a phone number, Freedom Law School, right there, 813-444-4800. Why did I do that? The reason I put our phone number right there for you to see, because you're welcome to call us. And we'll help you, guide you through our website, guide you through our YouTube channel, our resources, okay? We're not going to just hide behind some text or email message. We actually will be on the phone to talk to you, guide you, and to help you understand there is no law requiring you to file income tax. Right, so you can do it correctly and be free. So take advantage of it. By the way, I'm going to be speaking at the Red Pill Expo coming up. Okay, if you guys are at November 6th and 7th in Lafayette, Louisiana, Red Pill Expo, I've spoken there before, redpillexpo.org. And it's going to be over 15 great freedom speakers. And here's on the left, Ed Griffin, G. Edward Griffin, the host. You see my most recent interview, preview with me. Right there, I'll be speaking there, along with a dozen fantastic, great speakers of health, truth, and freedom you want to hear and see, folks. Yes. So don't miss it. If you can, come to Lafayette, Louisiana, and see me, along with the great speakers. If you can't make it, then go to redpillexpo.org and get the recording, the video recording of it. It's going to be live streamed and later available for sale also, okay? So do that, folks. It's a great event. You will love it. You want to be free, go to redpillexpo.org online or in person. Meanwhile, folks, remember to go to our website, livefreenow.org. Now, one more thing I want to add for you guys. A guy in Texas told me when he heard me speak after speech at Paymon, after hearing you, I thought I'm going to have to lawyer up, learn all this legal stuff, mumbo jumbo. I told him, no, you don't have to. The petitions are simple. But if you want someone to back you up to, I can do that, folks. What I've done, look at this on our website, Freedom Law School. I've created programs that I'll do everything for you, okay? You go under course packages to Royal Freedom Package, and that's what is an option. You can do everything for free, folks. I'm not taking money away from you. But if you want support, it's available. The Royal Freedom Package on how to lawfully and safely stop filing and paying income tax. And you get with it a unheard of 7-year $1 million guarantee. Yep. IRS will not take even $1 from your paycheck, bank account, or your property by force or levy for 7 years minimum. Otherwise, I will reimburse you. No one has anything like that out there. Freedom Law School is behind it. This is a 20-year-old program, 20-year track record behind this, okay? This is just a one-year, less than a year-old warranty I just came up with, okay? And it could be as low as $500 a year for younger people. The younger you are, the layers it is. You can go check it out, folks. More detail, watch more about it, about the Royal Fiat package at the bottom. There's a hyperlink to it. You can go there and check it out in more detail. Okay. And folks, the cost is no problem. No problem. I allow every one of you to make a payment plan. If you need to make a payment plan, I will work with you. I promise you. And I would love to pay you up to $5,000 in cash or cryptocurrency for referring others to Freedom Law School to be free. Yes, $5,000. I want to pay you once a month. It's $5,000. Once a week, over $20,000 a month. I want to pay you cash by telling others about Freedom Law School. Go to your state assembly. Go to your common law court locally in the area. Tell them about Freedom Law School. Refer them to us, and I'll pay you $5,000. Every one of them that gets a Royal Fiat Package program, 35 and older, you're going to get that $5,000 cash. Pay for your own membership without paying me even a dollar. That's right. You can earn it just by referring others. Or refer and then get more cash in your pocket. Stop being a mechanic. Stop being a carpenter or whatever little thing you do. Stop working at Walmart or some wage job and promote and be financially independent and secure like you wanted to be all your life. So check out Freedom Law School's website, okay? Livefreenow.org. Watch the 9-minute video here at the front. Go to the playlist that I put you in. Go to under education material, drop that menu. Dangers of filing income tax returns, the IRS is mostly bluff, and more. And with that, folks, I'll give you my love. I do this because I love you to be free, not a slave. The life you deserve to have with your family without being thrown into poverty by being robbed from of your hard-earned money, your hard work. You should have the life you want without being robbed. So the source is there. Livefreenow.org. Now it's up to you. I cannot make you free. The decision is up to you. No more baseless legal theories. No more of this nonsense theories. Go to livefreenow.org and educate yourself to freedom now. We have callers, folks. Let's go to your question. Let's put the call-in number on the screen, folks. Okay? So you can call and ask questions about this or any other freedom topic, folks. In fact, you can send email or U.S. mail up to 10 pages of paperwork to Freedom Law School, and I will go over them and review them for you and help you to live free at no charge every Thursday night at the end of the Freedom Hour. Okay? I charge $600 an hour for my time. I'm very busy. The first hour is discounted to $300. If you want a private, detailed, in-depth consultation, but I'm going to help you for free every Thursday night for free. So you take advantage of it. Call the number on your screen. 657-383-1755. Press 1. On the telephone keypad. So let me give you the list of people with questions, and then we're going to go to your questions one person at a time. What area code is the first caller from? 262. And the next caller is from what area code? No other questions. Okay. Caller from area code 262, only give me your first name for privacy, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Diana from Wisconsin.
And how did you hear about Freedom Law School, Diana?
well,
How did I hear about Freedom Law School? It wasn't Freedom Law School back in the 90s. So let's just say in the state of California.
Diana, you knew me before 1996. You knew me before 1996 when I created Freedom Law School?
Yes.
Wow. Good to hear from you, Diana, after all these years. And how can I help you?
That's why I said we go way back. And you still haven't taken a vacation.
Yeah, I have taken a little vacation, but I need to take more before this becomes more white.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
How does a couple protect themselves from any state action denying all our constitutional rights in a biblical marriage without forced government intervention, which would include keeping my husband and I separated for over 9 years?
Well, that's pretty easy.
Okay.
My wife, April, and I married 20 years ago. And we, in front of some friends and family members, gave each other our vows of marriage. And we made a document about it also, with witnesses signed on it. And we let the world know we're husband and wife. The IRS wanted to come after me and my wife to harass me. They looked in the county recorder's office. They found no marriage license or certificate of any kind. But that didn't stop the IRS from recognizing me and my wife, April, as married. That's it. Everybody recognizes us as married. On a birth certificate of our children has both of our names. No one asked for that marriage license from you. IRS never did. Okay? So it's not a problem. Just go do it.
Okay.
Okay, very good. That was an easy one.
Thank
Any
you.
Any other questions, staff? You're welcome. Good to hear from you, Diana. I'm sorry?
Okay. I'm praying for you.
Thank you, Diana. Last name of whose is the same? Oh, what you want to do, by the way, I forgot to mention this, Diana. Just change your last name to his last name. You want to do that. That shows that you're his wife. So adopt is make sure you change, do a name change officially to his and all documents everywhere.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yes.
Yes. Very good. We have a caller from area code 646. My friend, give me your first name. I heard about us. What is it?
My name is Irina.
Irina, okay. Yes. How did you hear about Freedom Law School and the question?
Okay, I had issues with Internal Revenue. They did not recognize my 2017 schedule.
How did you hear about Freedom Law School first? How did you hear about Freedom Law School?
Yeah. Well, that's I was planning to explain that. So I shared it with my friend, and she sent me a link, and the link was one of the videos from Freedom Law School, and I got excited, and I decided to reach out. I thought it's a scam, honestly. I'm just learning about Freedom Law School and trying to figure out if it's a scam or not a scam. And if you guys can help me.
Okay. And how may I help you?
Yeah, so 2017 tax return, Schedule C, none of the deductions were recognized. They want me to pay them back. When I say they, IRS wants me to pay them back close to $7,500 plus interest accumulated since 2017. I was audited, Now it's close to $10,000, and I don't have money to pay that.
Okay. In fact, I saw you send the documentation to us. I saw the. Do we have that documentation around or not? Because I saw it. I saw.
Yes, I sent it. Yeah.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. Well, Irene, I got good and bad news for you. Which one should I start with first?
Bad.
Which one?
Bad.
Okay.
Bad.
The bad news is you caused your own troubles by filling out those 1040 income tax confession forms. Those are not returns. Did you ever take anything from the federal government that you were returning to the IRS? No. So that's not a return. It's a confession form. I'll show you on my screen. Go to at our website, livefreenow.org, under education materials, to dangers of filing income tax returns. The very first item there. Okay, you open that link in a new tab, and it's there because it's such an important educational material everybody should know. Okay, let's go down a little bit. Here's the on right side. There's a 1040 income tax confession form signature line that you see there, okay? Yep, and you see the 1040 line that under 1040 sign here, next to sign here, on that tiny font, I've made it bigger for you. Yes, there you go, see? Because you signed that piece of paper, Irina, under penalty or perjury. Do you know what penalty or perjury means, Irina?
No.
No, that's okay. You start everything under oath that it says, throw me in prison if everything on this form is not true, correct, and complete. You're swearing to it as if you're in a court with a judge and a jury. That is what you do about that 1040 income tax confession form. You know what else you do with that? What you do is you say, IRS, I owe you this money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're giving a letter to your neighbor under oath, swear to a sign, I owe you $100,000. And a year later, he comes, come take your bank account and paycheck. You say, what are you doing? Well, you said, I owe you $100,000 under oath. I opened the court, got a judgment. That's it. He said, but I don't owe you $100,000. Well, you signed it under oath. Well, I thought I had to. No, you did not. You voluntarily wrote a piece of paper under oath that you owe me this money. That is what the 1040 tax confession is. You confess you owe your neighbor or the IRS this money. But there's one big difference. On the 1040 confession from a small...
My CPA recommended this.
Yeah, I know. Your CPA... Maybe a very nice guy. I don't know him. I don't want to judge him. But he knows nothing about tax law whatsoever. He's ignorant. He's a glorified bookkeeper. He doesn't know anything about this. The Internal Revenue Code. The federal tax laws. See that right there? This book is this thick with tiny little tissue thin paper. He doesn't understand this at all. He doesn't know the legal tax procedures at all. I do. I've studied this since 1992. So all these CPAs are greasing the skids for the IRS to rape you like what they're doing now. What the game is, he gets to make money. He's a leech off the IRS leeches. Okay, he does. He has filed a confession from the U. Let's suppose you received in the course of your business, $50,000. You confess that your receipt and it's taxable. You're $50,000. Then you say, oh, but I have $20,000 of this expense at $4,000 of cost of goods sold, at $6,000 of whatever credit or charge back or what you got allowed by law expense deduction. I only netted $20,000, not the $50,000 gross. And yeah, I was now saying to you, Irina, you admitted you received $50,000. You admitted it was all taxable income. Now you're claiming these expenses to lower it. You have to prove it, Irina. Yes, prove it. That's what they're doing to you right now. So now you have to be like a slave. Yes, master, I'll give you all the records I got. I'm entitled to this expense and that expense. I have the receipt for that. I have a receipt for that. I have it all. I took my time from production and work to keep these receipts for you just in case you come after me. But you see, you did not have to do that at all, Irina. Did you file a 1040 tax confession form for 2020 or not?
For 2020? I don't know. I signed everything that I was told by my CPA.
So you did. So he did save me for 2018, 19, and 20. And guess what? What the IRS did to you for 17, they could do for 18, 19, and 20. The IRS could say, Irina, hey, lady, while we're at it, I know you came from a communist country with the name Irina on your Eastern European accent, Ukraine and Russia. That doesn't matter. We love you. We want to pay your fair share of slavery. Welcome to American form of communism. Welcome. We have our own brand of socialism. IRS is a key part of that. A progressive income tax, one of the 10 planks of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, right? So you know, they might just say for 18, 19, 20, they're going to disallow all your expenses and say prove it all. They may not. But at this point, I'm sorry. The only thing you can do is to provide those documentation to the IRS. In fact, let me tell you this. And what happened?
They rejected everything. They didn't even consider anything. And I had all the receipts.
Guess what? I know. Because the audit that you went to is meaningless anyhow. Your CPA is incompetent. The audits legally mean zero. They know that, but you didn't know that. The IRS, in order for them to assess or fix an amount of tax on you, they have to issue a legal letter called a notice of deficiency. It shows a deficiency on your 1040 tax form. Yep, I have it all right there. Thank you. They're going to want you to prove your lodging receipts, you know, meal and entertainment expenses, all that stuff. But you see, your CPA, he's incompetent. He cannot represent you in tax court. So he charged you for useless audits and made money off of this troubles that the IRS caused you. You need to go to tax court if the IRS issues you a notice of deficiency. If they don't, legally you owe them nothing. Tell the IRS, I owe you nothing. This is meaningless. You know that if without a notice deficiency, this stuff you do is meaningless. It's zero. Now if they issue notice deficiency, you go to tax court within 90 days and there provide your documentation proof there, and they have to accept it because there's a judge there. Okay? That will see everything that you got. And that's what you need to do if it gets that far. If anything, you want to maybe fire that CPA because you no longer need him, Irene. Let me show you something else you should know. At our website under Education Materials, go to down to questions to ask your tax preparer on this download menu, okay? And you'll see here why you should ask these questions to ask your CPA, okay? Because they're incompetent. And I go over this issue in this video, questions to ask your tax preparer, and read this part one and part two questionnaire, very short. Part one, And part two is even shorter. Okay? And you'll see that you'll never, ever want to pay that CPA any money for anything. In fact, you don't need to pay any accountant, bookkeeper, CPA, any money at all, ever. You don't need to keep all his records either. And you can start living free. Go to the front page of our website, okay, at livefreenow.org. And what you want to do first thing tonight, watch this 9-minute video here, why there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file income tax. Again, this is all backed up by laws from government's official own websites. The petitions which I showed you earlier, by the way, well, let me see here one. Here we go, like this one. Yep. You can read them if you prefer. If you go to our petition pages, you can read them if you wish instead. Okay. Now, I noticed that the IRS sends you a, let's see. Hold on. Let me see what they got here. Now, let me look at the documentation I'm going to hand it to you. April 12th. Now, what they send you right now, by the way, I have it right here. I have your paperwork here. April 12th, they send you an official report that does not say it's a notice of deficiency. Since April 12th, have they written to you again? Have they sent you a certified letter, Irene, or no? Irina?
No, it was not certified. No, it was not certified.
Then you don't worry about it. All this means nothing whatsoever. Until they send you that certified letter that tells you it's a notice of deficiency, in the very first paragraph, it will tell you that. Don't worry about this at all. Okay? They may leave you alone, never come after you at all to begin with. If they do come after you, then you can contact me again. Meanwhile, your homework is don't make the mistake again. Do not file 1040 tax confession forms. Okay? Irina, where are you from, by the way? I'm curious.
I'm from Ukraine.
Okay. Very good. Kiev?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Welcome to America. How old are you, if I may ask, approximately?
I'm 52.
So you lived under the communist rule in the Soviet Union, didn't you?
Yes, of course. I know how that works.
So tell us, tell our Americans listening on this, you know, broadcast, how you see, if any, comparisons between America now and the communism you experienced back in Ukraine under Soviet Union.
I feel like a slave. I was born into a country of where I was enslaved. I studied in a school where I was enslaved. I was in the family that was pushing me to do what I don't want. And now I'm in the United States, and it's getting worse and worse. And everything I make, I have to pay IRS. That, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. I thought I will retire by the age of 50 and have a beautiful life, but instead I'm getting all these letters, and they want my money, all my retirement. And I work hard for 30 years here in the United States, have 401k and paid for my son's education, thinking that maybe one day he's going to support me. He doesn't care. He has his own life. And here I am. I feel very constricted in my abilities to do anything, especially with all these payments. And for 2020, I owe them over $1,700. It just doesn't make sense. It's getting worse and worse. So I'm not even. I know there is no freedom. It's all an illusion in the United States. But we have to fight for our freedom. We have to take it back. If we don't do it, who is going to do it for us?
That's right. You're absolutely right. Let me ask you, Irina, what line of work are you in?
I'm a
what
therapist.
Do you do?
I do new energy healing. I help clients and people get in better, in the best shape possible, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Oh, by the way, Irina, I apologize to you. We were very busy today. And as soon as I saw your email and what you do, I told my help, I want to do a barter with you because I love what you stand for. I love the spiritual angle of what you do. I'm a very spiritual person myself. And I told myself this was not an accident. So I said, call her. Let's do a barter. So I can go over your situation in more detail privately, not rushed here a little bit. So if you want to do that, call my office tomorrow. We can do that because I'm interested in what you do. But I have one more question to ask you, Irina. What you do is something that can be done from anywhere on earth. Why do you live in the Communist Republic of New Jersey? Want to come to a free state?
I'm leaving. I am selling my house I'm selling my house and leaving to Costa Rica.
Why Costa Rica?
I have a lot of business partners there, and we are building a retreat center where we can heal a lot of damaged people.
Very good.
We can help them spiritually find themselves and find their identity.
Very good. Very good. Have you looked at the option of living in Central Florida?
Yes, I'm actually considering that as well. Yeah.
Okay. Let me say this to you just so you know. People that leave America, expatriates, well over half of them, I heard about two-thirds of them, after several years or shorter, less time, they come back to USA.
Mm-hmm.
Three-quarters, thank you. We researched that. Three-quarters come back to USA. And the reason is because after first few months, a few years of living in this beautiful tropical islands, countries of Costa Rica, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Belize, all these wonderful islands, it's in Bahamas, you get homesick. You get tired of that. Not enough people. You cannot go everywhere because certain parts you cannot go. You cannot go to these unsafe areas. They got bad areas too. The small, it's a little bit constricted. You don't know the people, the language so well, the culture so well, They're really different kind of, they are different people. You want to go back where you know people, people understand you. You can go back to Ukraine or America, but you've been here for 30 years. So they end up coming back. So let me suggest that you look at Central Florida much more closely. Because Florida is one of the 8 states with no state income tax in America. It is the lowest tax state in America for a long time. And overall, the freest state. We have no corona hoax mask requirements for people at all. Never went to any store in Florida, ever. Even a year ago.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
So I would suggest you consider that you can still go to Costa Rica, have a second home there, or do stuff there, and your base here. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think if you look at that more closely and look up why 3 out of 4 expatriates go to Costa Rica, those places come back, you may choose to just be out of Florida and just go to Costa Rica 2 months, 4 months, 6 months out of the year and come back to your base in Central Florida. And not Miami. Not Northern Florida, Central Florida, between Tampa, Ocala, Orlando Triangle, I believe is the best place with most freedom, close to major airports, Tampa and Orlando, as well as in a country suburb, your countryside where you can do what you do with freedom and very, very affordable cost of housing. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Irina, I can help you with?
Sorry?
Any other questions?
No, I'm just going to reach out to you tomorrow morning. Thank you so much for what you do.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Pleasure to meet you, Irina. Thanks for calling us. Do you have any more callers with questions? Erica 347. Anybody behind him? Okay. Call from Erica 347. Please tell me your first name, then how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Yes, hi, my name is Adam, New York. I spoke to you several times already. I was just curious because I spoke to Stephen, and he relayed a message to you before you went on one of the expos, I guess it was, or something. I work for New York City Transit Authority, and the state is claiming that I owe a tax for 2 years, 15 and 16. And they're about like 4,500 apiece almost, give or take. At the beginning, when I first sent in my paperwork to you and whatever, you said that they don't have any, I guess, jurisdiction or taxation or whatever at that time. And then the last time when I sent in documentation, which of the same thing, because you told me to wait because they didn't send in like papers that I needed to act on at that time. The second time when I sent it in, after I got with Steven, and since I'm a state worker, supposedly I had to pay the tax now. So I'm a little confused because if I don't have a federal tax in accordance with the paperwork that they have with the state, I wouldn't have a state tax either.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I have not looked very closely, Adam, at every of the 42 states in America that claims to have a state income tax. Okay? I've looked at many of them to different degrees, but not every one of them to the nth degree. So honestly, I do not claim to be an expert on every state tax question that comes up. This is one of those situations, okay? And what I do know is, yes, generally speaking, the tax is imposed in New York, income tax, based upon federal tax definitions, which, therefore, it does not apply to you since you are not a citizen of the or resident of the District of Columbia. However, I'm not thoroughly search the laws of New York to see if there's a separate tax or another provision that makes that tax applicable to the employees of the state of New York or political subdivisions of the state of New York. Okay? So that would take a separate research for me to do. The thing is, my friend, is that generally speaking, people who are freedom lovers, seekers, are not government workers, typically, on the average, okay? So they're usually small business owners, independent contractors, or work for a private firm. So I never had the occasion to have to look at this issue in very detail. So I cannot give you exact answer to your question. But since you called here, when we get a chance, I'll do a little more work on that, maybe to speak with Benny, my researcher in New York on that. But yes, you may have to think about that as a worker, maybe not. But let me ask you another question. You are obviously a freedom seeker. Have you ever considered just leaving New York, go to another more freedom state and get another job there? Like Florida?
Yeah, we talked about that too. I only have 3 years left to do what I got to do before I could retire.
Right.
So we spoke about that because originally the last time when I was speaking, I was just looking to sign up with the Royal Package, but then Steve told me that state thing that I would have to pay it, and that, you know, your suggestion was that it wouldn't work for me if I did the Royal Package. So that was right. That was why I was a little bit stumped by that, because originally, when we spoke about it, you know, it was like almost like a go, like we could do what we needed to do with it. And then the second time it was like, no, because you weren't sure about the state thing. And so I was a little confused.
Well, there's no confusion, my friend. The truth of the matter is, folks, you know, I'm the kind of person, Adam, that I don't believe in lying or deceiving you or anybody else. You know, I would love to be the kind of guy that has the magic answer for every situation and for you. I would love to be able to do that. But when I can't, my heart my mind, spirit tells me, I got to be honest with you. I got to tell you the truth. I can tell you with confidence what I can do and what I cannot do. I'm going to be honest with you about it. That's why. Okay? Because state taxes are different countries than the federal taxes. So that's why, you know, with state is not a simple just, I can do it guaranteed, no problem, like the IRS. Okay, that's why. So, but given your situation, 3 years, yeah, you know, you may want to do what you can and take advantage of the time factor that you got here, you know, and leave that stage in 3 years. You know, given the situation, do the best you can, you know. So what would probably be helpful with you is to do a private, detailed one-hour consultation so that I can go over your situation and help you develop, understand, and implement a very effective exit strategy out of New York in 3 years that will give you minimal damage, okay, and maximum. That's the best, honest answer I can give
you. Okay, and then I have another question just in general for everybody, because I know you're helping people, but you know that IRS has that lock-in clause they use, right? So my question with that is I know you usually shy away from that because you're still experimenting with something, supposedly, from what I understand. My question would be is, if they didn't have jurisdiction to begin with to do a lock-in because you're not under that jurisdiction, then why wouldn't that be able to be removed in that sense? Like, you know, you're showing that they didn't have the right jurisdiction, so the lock-in should actually be, you should be able to waive that lock-in.
Okay. You see, the problem is that our government is no longer a government of founding fathers. And, you know, we're told that the legislature makes laws, is the executive implements them, and the judiciary is the independent third branch that is a check on the other two branches. But guess what? The judiciary has become corrupt also. The problem.
Yeah.
The laws are upheld by the court as written. It's not. The court has the power to convict you and sentence you as a man. You're a man, right? Being in the bathroom of opposite sex. When you walk into a men's bathroom. You convict you, put you in prison for that. You know how? The judge can simply ignore the fact and declare you to be a woman. Once it says Adam is a woman who walked in men's bathroom, after that, whatever he says, blah, 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 doesn't matter. You're convicted and sentenced. In other words, the judge can ignore reality and fact as well as the law. Because who's going to correct the judge? When the judge himself is the criminal, the judge himself is the rapist, the murderer, the thief, who's going to correct him? Oh, that's right. The higher level judges on the Court of Appeal. Oh, guess what? Those guys are experienced crooks and criminal judges. And they're going to cover up for this other guy because they're all a bunch of communists, satanic socialists who are afraid to not to protect the system. They'll fall apart because they are part of the system. That's why. Okay. You heard in the news, Tucker Carlson covered this a few months ago. This woman is a hairstylist on January 6th. You know, she was there, you know, demonstrating, exercising First Amendment rights. And they put her in jail, solitary confinement, after months of her on trial. And the government lawyer wanted to give sentencing. The judge, a black female communist, satanist, gave her a harsher sentence than the prosecutor asked for. Yes. That's a female and snake-like, the judge is going to be worse than the prosecutor. So that's the problem. Lock your letters. The problem is that the corrupt social judges will do everything they can to not to go against the current system. That's to do it for you, but the judges will sit on the cases for a year or two if you do nothing. You can do that. The judge, I'm waiting to hear my case. I'm Adam. You cannot go to the judge's chambers, office, call him, hey, judge, hey, come on in. I want to talk to you. You cannot do it. You're high. And delay your case until you left that job. See, that's the problem. It is the law and letter. The judges are corrupt and prepare for the system. There exists a judicial conspiracy to protect and preserve the federal income tax. If a judge ever rules according to what Freedom Law School teaches, the law is written by Congress, as I've held by the Supreme Court, the system's over. And judge will say, oh my gosh, what did I do? Oh my gosh, I made all my politician friends upset at me. I destroyed the income tax system, the source of revenue of the federal government and the state of New York. Oh my gosh, see, he won't do that. That's why the mock letters, you know. So that's why sometimes you better just avoid them, go around them, you know, by writing your congressman, not directly to the crooked judges. He has the power to ignore the law and facts, plain as day, right in front of your eyes. They can do that. I've seen them do that. Okay?
Yeah, but even those letters that you have on site, I already wrote one of them to the congressman in the House. And
good.
Okay, so they don't answer those, right? They don't answer them or anything.
Right.
So then what do you do with those letters after the fact?
In other situations, that's what we deal with the third party, with the employer. Because, you know, you can persuade them to look for the law as written by government's official website. But, and he thinks, everybody assumes the law is what the Constitution says, is what the legislature says, Congress says, in federal laws, and what the Supreme Court has said. Well, that's the theory of government. In practice, the law is changed by the crooked federal district courts to something else that fits the system that they got, the common system. And the federal courts of appeal above them that will rubber stamp that. And the Supreme Court will not review it. That's why I'm going to Congress with you and asking Congress to stop this. They can stop them. House of Representatives impeach every one of these judges and Department of Justice lawyers and IRS heads and send the Senate for conviction with 2/3 vote. Fire them. That's the constitutional process. You could go to judges itself directly, will very likely not work. I know because I've been in court. I've seen them. I've seen others too. That's why. Sometimes tyranny is not a simple black and white answer as it should be. And if you had a just system of government, that still works right. Does that help you, Adam?
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure, my friend. Thank you for your great question. Any other questions? Okay, folks, I want to thank you for your calls. And I wish you all freedom, health, love, prosperity. But it all starts with you seeking the truth. Freedom Law School has the answers on your website that are humanly possible. Go to livefreenow.org. That's when you want to start, right here. You want to prefer read the petitions? Read the petitions we have on our website. Okay, there they are. Okay, like income tax petition is right there. Okay. Do the process. Send all the four letters to all congressmen. And I would suggest for those of you who are serious, consider joining the Royal Freedom Package. Tell others. And I want to pay you. the Royal Family Package should cost you nothing, zero. All you got to do is to share with other people around you, brothers, sisters, parents, children, friends, coworkers. Share with them so the Royal Family Package should pay you and have you be tax-free. So with that, folks, I give you my love, and I wish you most love, freedom, health, and success. And I'll be back with you next Thursday night. Subscribe to our channel. Get on our email list. I'll be back with you next Thursday night. Thank you for watching.